here on Prevention on Point, we like to share examples of things that may relate.
I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, "I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!"
Hi, I'm Laura from Hudson at the Hudson Farmers Market. You're listening to WGXC ACRA. 90.7 FM Hands On Radio. No one else there to
talk. You are invited to join me upon the Cypress Bough. Music from North Africa, West and Central Asia. First Monday of every month, 8 to 10 p.m. on WGXC 90.7 FM and WGXC.org.
WGXC underwriting is provided in part by Twin Wolves Healing Arts, your local holistic health community located in Old Chatham. Twin Wolves offers a variety of services, including sauna, cold plunge, and red light therapy. Information and scheduling at twinwolvesheal.com. By phone at 518-596-7057 or by email at hi@twinwolvesheal.com.
Wave Farms WGXC is made possible in part by the generous support of Christopher Funkhauser and Amy Huffnagel of Austin, New York. WGXC supporters care deeply about creative community radio. Their generosity and investment keep this unique station viable. You too can become a monthly supporter by going to WGXC.org/donate and establishing a donation at the amount of your choosing. We hope you will do so. Thank you so much for your support.
Hello and welcome to the better weather for Friday, July 18th. Local early morning temperatures range from 61 degrees in Tannersville to 72 in Red Hook. Regional average soil temperature is 76 degrees. Air quality today will be good. Pollen levels will be medium. Dew points will be comfortable today. A breeze helps, especially when temperatures reach 80 degrees at 4 p.m. Don't forget sun protection if heading out. Overnight, some might be able to open those windows as temperatures dip to 58 degrees. Saturday, temperatures rebound, hitting 84 degrees by 3 p.m. The afternoon and evening will feel a lot more humid than the morning. Chances of rain show up around dark and continue overnight as we see a muggy low of 69. Sunday, rain chances all day could bring some thunder. We get a high of 81 that lingers most of the afternoon. Monday is looking dry and comfy with a high of 76. Today's tide schedule is low tide at 3:53 a.m., high tide at 9:19 a.m., low tide again at 3:58 p.m., and high tide once again at 9:55 p.m. Today's river temperature will be 83 degrees, and the tide strength is average, and it will remain average for a few days and then get strong again. Sunset today will be at 8:14 p.m. Sunrise tomorrow will be at 5:32 a.m. Looking way up, we see X-class flare chances are at 15%. Plasma winds will be average at 562 kilometers per second with a thin density of less than 1 proton per cubic centimeter. Radio propagation conditions are currently solar max standard with an S2 level noise floor. There are no chances of aurora this evening. The current sunspot number is 178. This has been The Better Weather, brought to you by the Catskill Makers Syndicate.
The Public News Service Friday afternoon update. I'm Mike Clifford. President Donald Trump late Thursday told the Justice Department to seek the release of all pertinent grand jury testimony in the sex trafficking case against Jeffrey Epstein as he tried to tamp down growing political outcry over his administration's handling of the case files. That for the Washington Post. They report Trump's announcement came minutes after he pledged to sue the Wall Street Journal over its Thursday evening report, which said that he contributed a drawing of a naked woman to Epstein's 50th birthday album in 2003. The letter concluded with, "Happy birthday, and may every day be another wonderful secret." That's according to the Journal. Public education advocates are sounding alarms about the upcoming school year because the federal government is holding up about $60 million in funds for Nevada schools.
The Trump administration says it's freezing the money to make sure it aligns with administration priorities. The grants support after-school programs, help for English language learners, and more. Jerome Pena, with the group Make the Road Nevada, says those programs make a big difference for low-income families like hers.
I know what these programs did for me. I know how many kids depend on them to learn and to dream bigger. And to see Governor Lombardo stay silent in support of these Trump policies, it's not just frustrating, it's shameful.
The administration has given no timeline on releasing the funds, which total about $6.8 billion nationally. I'm Suzanne Potter.
And Virginia leaders and business owners are redefining what car freedom means today.
Delegate Michael Fagans, a Virginia Beach Democrat, connects the dots from his military service with energy policy. He argues that electric vehicles reduce national security risks tied to oil dependence.
Every year, the United States spends billions of dollars of taxpayer money to protect oil infrastructure and transit routes overseas. This diverts resources from critical strategic priorities and puts American service members in harm's way. Our reliance on the volatile global markets makes us vulnerable to these actions, and that's why I'm here today.
Fagans, a 20-year Air Force veteran, argues EVs leverage America's domestic energy, noting electricity prices rose just 4% in 2022 versus a 52% spike in gas prices. However, this contrasts with Governor Glenn Youngkin's energy plan that emphasizes fuel choice and grid stability concerns. I'm Tramell Gomes.
Next to Nashville, where the annual John Lewis Way March returns tomorrow, marking 5 years since the civil rights icon's passing, former state Senator Brenda Gilmore says the event pays tribute to Lewis's legacy and Nashville's pivotal role in the civil rights movement.
We are particularly focusing in on voter rights, voter education, voter empowerment, and also speaking out with our brothers and sisters in the immigrant community.
This year's event is part of a national wave of 1,600 protests opposing Trump-era policies honoring Lewis by mobilizing voters and challenging laws that organizers say threaten democracy. This is Public News Service. A federal judge is now weighing whether to block Mississippi's House Bill 1193, a law critics say stifles free speech in schools by banning so-called divisive concepts.
The American Civil Liberties Union lawsuit claims the law's vague language leaves educators and students unsure what they can discuss. Joshua Tom with the ACLU of Mississippi says the law's broad restrictions threaten foundational lessons.
It would prohibit vast swaths of any number of subjects in public schools from being taught. How can you teach about the civil rights movement if you can't increase awareness about race? How can you teach about the women's suffrage movement if you can't increase awareness about gender?
The ACLU is representing several education advocacy groups and students who are seeking a preliminary injunction. The lawsuit cites immediate impacts, including canceled student-led events and teacher self-censorship, as schools await the court's decision. I'm Tramell Gomes.
And the Pennsylvania Department of Environmental Protection is asking the public to weigh in on a federal EPA proposal to curb methane emissions from oil and gas sites.
Methane is a greenhouse gas over 80 times more powerful than carbon dioxide and is thought to be a driver of climate change. Barbara Jarmoska, former head of the Responsible Decarbonization Alliance, says the EPA plan is built on Biden-era Inflation Reduction Act efforts. Its federal funding has been cut, but people can still review the plan and share their feedback during the public comment period. She notes the EPA proposal would decrease pollution, improve air quality, and create jobs.
My testimony was about climate change, the dire need to curb methane. Pennsylvania is the second largest gas producing state in America, and we release thousands of cubic feet of fugitive methane annually.
She says leaking methane is often accompanied by other volatile organic compounds that pose serious health risks. The public comment period ends July 30th. Danielle Smith reporting.
Finally, a cleaner environment through less waste is the goal of a new state organization, the Indiana Composting Council.
Council President Gowri Samaradaran explains compost starts with decomposed organic matter from food waste and grass clippings to shredded paper. When combined with air and water, these items break down into nutrient-rich soil, which minimizes plant diseases. She says it benefits the climate, too.
Organic waste is the majority of the waste that emits greenhouse gas.
Indiana has 15 recycling centers. I'm Terry D. reporting.
This is Mike Clifford. Thank you for your NDU Week with Public News Service, member and listener supported. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
Welcome to the WGXC Afternoon Show. I'm your host, Lucy. I'm all set up here in the window of the Catskill Studio at 393 Main Street. So if you're around, pop on over and wave hello. I'm usually here on the first Fridays of every month, chit-chatting with interesting folks doing interesting things from our community. But as you may have gathered, today is not the first Friday. It's actually the third Friday, but it's summer. And if you're like me, you have no idea what day it is. But I'm doing a special episode today in honor of Upstate Art Weekend. There's a ton of stuff going on around our area for the weekend. I can't possibly name all of it, but a couple things that are going on I just wanted to point out. One is happening tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. Studio Fitness, who you might remember Clark from my very first interview. He's hosting his gym, Studio Fitness, is hosting a Pilates class at the White Cliff Vineyard, which is just across the Rip Van Winkle Bridge on the Columbia County side. That's tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. Clark is a good friend of the show, especially for being my very first guest. So if you want more information on that, go to studiocatskill.com and look under events. Something else that's a little exciting is down the street at the Foreland Artist Studios. They're having their first ever open studios, which, you know, is a kind of cool thing. You get to peek behind the curtain and see what's going on there, see what the different artists are doing. Again, that's tomorrow from 2 to 8. If you want more information on that, you can look at forelandcatskill.com. But now back to what's going on in the studio. I have in the studio today with me Sheila Henderson, who is the executive director of Catwalk Artist Residency. Welcome, Sheila.
Thank you, Lucy.
So, full disclosure, Sheila and I have known each other for quite a few years now. We both have kids in the Catskill School together. Our daughters play softball together. I've coached your son, Bobby, a couple of seasons in Little League. But oddly enough, I feel like it was a long time before we discussed our jobs.
Yes.
I had no idea that you, first of all, ran a residency. And not only did you run the residency, but it's about 5 minutes from my house. Mm-hmm. And in all the years I've lived here in Catskill, I had no idea it was even there. Tell us a little bit about the residency. It's called the Catwalk Residency.
Catwalk Institute.
Catwalk Institute.
Mm-hmm. It was founded by Purcell Palmer in 2004. We are right in Catskill, and it's a big house that overlooks the Hudson River. We provide our artists with time and space to, you know, be creative here in the landscape and the environment of the Hudson Valley. You know, it's beautiful here. History has proven that there's magic. It's very inspirational.
Tying that into Upstate Art Weekend, it's not just for this weekend, but you have a month-long program called Resonance, the Return of Catwalk Artists. And we're in the middle of the month here, so some of the various events have already happened. But this is a program. Is this the first year of that program?
Yes, and we hope to make it an annual event.
So the intention of the program, which I love, is to kind of push to integrate the artists that are staying at Catwalk into the community, share with the community, connect with the community. Because, like I said, I've been here since, I think, 2007 and had no idea it was even there. But now you really have this reinvigorated drive to bring the artists into the community,
yes,
which I absolutely love. I feel like I'm a local to the area, not Catskill, but I grew up across the river in Columbia County, and you are a local here to Catskill. And on the one hand, I absolutely love that we as residents of the Hudson Valley have access to things that we didn't have before. Growing up, you know, we didn't have a lot of cultural things, you know, art culture things going on. Obviously, we have our own rich cultures here in the Valley. I love that we have connections to these things and we have access to these things. But sometimes you can kind of feel like a backdrop to other people's vacations or retreats or whatever. So I love this idea of, instead of just Catskill being a place setting for this residency, it really is, you're trying to make it, a resource for the area, for the artists to get out into the public, for the public to really experience the art and be introduced to these things that maybe otherwise they wouldn't be. So I absolutely love that. So why don't you give us a little rundown? There's a lot of events coming up. And,
yes.
And it's, like I said, some of them have passed,
mm-hmm.
but you gave me a little list here.
Yeah, so right now we have over at Thomas Cole, Marian Spencer, she is doing a duet dance performance. And also right now over at Sidiots, we have Tamar Sajiv, and she is doing a mini concert with her cello. And then tomorrow, Sari Norman has her exhibit over at the Thomas Cole, and she'll be there also doing a pop-up workshop with Knot Making and talking about the environment and how her artwork revolves around the environment.
Wait, so Sari Nordman's, that's at the Thomas Cole House,
yes.
which again is here in Catskill, mm-hmm. if anybody. And if people wanted more information, should they go to the Catwalk?
Catwalkinstitute.org.
And that is, when is the event? Is tomorrow?
Tomorrow.
What is mm-hmm. tomorrow? Even the 19th.
Tomorrow is the 19th, yes.
So that's at the Thomas Cole House. Mm-hmm. Also at the Thomas Cole House is Marian Spencer. And
that's
that
right
is,
now.
Oh, that's right. Literally right now. So you have to decide, do you want to listen to us chit-chat?
Right.
Or do you want to go see a beautiful performance? Mm-hmm. I'd probably pick the performance. No.
Yes.
And then you also have, what else do we have here? Tamar Sajiv.
Yep, she's performing twice. Well, she's performing three times. So right now as well.
Literally right now.
As idiots. And then
which is here on Main Street,
mm-hmm.
just so we can see it.
Yes.
I can see it.
Mm-hmm. If the windows were open, we could probably hear her. And then tomorrow over at the BD Powers House at 3 p.m. And then she's back at the Thomas Cole House on Sunday at 5 p.m.
Oh, wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
And both of those. I mean, so Catwalk is a historic home.
Mm-hmm.
And then BD Powers, another beautiful historic home. Thomas Cole House, mm-hmm. another beautiful historic mm-hmm. home. So yeah, incredible backdrops for all of these different art experiences.
Mm-hmm. And we do have another one that's going to be at Dutchman's Landing tomorrow, and that's with our artist Mia de Bethume. She is doing a body mapping art drawing workshop right at the Dutchman's Landing. And so that's from 10 to 1 as well.
Body mapping.
So she does a little bit of a meditation and just talking about your body and polarity. And then you work with various supplies, chalk, paints, and pencils, and you let the energy that's flowing through your body, you close your eyes, and you make art. And it's quite surprising when you finally do open your eyes to see what you've created.
Oh, you do the whole thing with
With your eyes closed.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, you open your eyes just to grab new materials. And then, you know, you take a step back. And it's quite amazing. And we did two different workshops. One concentrated with the throat and your lymphatic system. And then another one was your core as well. And so I had two different forms of art. And you could see the transition of how I became more comfortable and relaxed, and so my work was smooth, opposed to in the beginning, which was just very rigid. Because
herky jerky.
Yes, I was nervous.
Am I doing it right?
Exactly. That's how I was feeling. Am I doing this right? Let's just grab the wall with this paint and pull down. So it's very moving. It's It was a lot of fun.
And I see here too, I love this because there's a family one.
Yes, that's tomorrow.
That's fantastic. Because what does it say here?
10 to 1.
10 to 1. So mm-hmm. Get your kids involved.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's so important for people to, get their kids involved and have family activities. So that's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Anything that kids can go to, I'm there.
Yes. And then we also have a very unique and it'll be a rare event, and that is with Connor doing painting workshops at Catwalk, and that is a sign-up, and I'm trying to find my piece of paper. It's the following weekend, so people have plenty of time to sign up.
Because I love our Upstate Art Weekend, but there's just too many. You can't possibly go to all of these events.
Right. Connor Dowdle, it's on the July 26th and the 27th, but you do have to sign up. It's 3 p.m. to 7 p.m.
And again, that would be catwalkinstitute.org.
Yes.
And what is it? A drawing workshop. Mm-hmm. Yep. And is this from 3 to 7?
Mm-hmm. And you're right outside on the catwalk grounds.
Oh, so you get to see the house.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So let's talk a little bit about the house, because you started working there as a bookkeeper.
Yes.
Yourself. Well, why don't you tell us a little bit about that? So what year did the residency start?
2004. Purcell purchased the home in 2003, and the residency opened in 2004.
So, they purchased it in 2003?
Mm-hmm, the home.
The home. Well, tell us a little bit about Jim and Purcell, first of all. So, they were in New York City.
Mm-hmm, yes.
Jim Palmer was a basketball player.
Yes, he played for the New York Knicks and the Dayton Flyers. Purcell always had the intent of purchasing her, lifetime home and then having it be used for a residency. So she had actually scoured all the properties available throughout the Northeast, and she fell in love with this piece of property. Oddly enough, she knew of this area already because she used to vacation as a child, I believe in the Westerlo, I think Freehold area, close here, but not right here. And she also attended Vassar. She knew of this area, but when this, property was for sale, with its close proximity to Olana and to Thomas Cole, it just was a perfect fit.
And the house actually was owned prior by Charles Herbert Moore, who was another Hudson River School painter.
Mm-hmm.
How cool is that?
Right, exactly.
Yeah, especially nestled in that little area. You know, you have the trifecta there of Charles Herbert Moore, Olana with Frederick Church, and then Thomas Cole at Cedar Grove. That's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
So they purchased that in 2003, and then in 2004 opened the residency, and they were living there. I mean, this was their home.
Yes.
And where were the residents? Were the residents right in the house?
No. So part of this home, there's two apartments. One is the big, beautiful tower, and that's a one-bedroom apartment. It also has a kitchen. It's, completely independent. And then also attached to the house is the caretaker's apartment, and that's a two-bedroom home. you know, for the first couple of years until about, I believe, 2013, she was just offering those two residencies. And then in 2013.
And what seasons were those? That was
just the main season. So usually from May through October. And then she would spend the rest of those months, you know, on her own personal time, traveling and everything. But in 2013, she did acquire another home on Hamburg Road, and we refer that to Cat's Lair, and that's a three-bedroom house.
Oh.
So which is perfect for collaborative teams.
Nice.
Yeah. And since 2004, she's hosted over 700 artists.
Wow. That's crazy. I mean, that's insane. But it's not a normal... Excuse me. It's not a normal residency, so not anybody can just apply.
Correct.
It's very specific alumni from specific colleges.
Yes. So we invite in MFA graduates and faculty from six partnering institutions. They started off with Chicago Art Institute. School of the Arts Institute Chicago, SIAC, then to Vassar. And then Columbia University, and then NYU. And then in the last 2 years, we partnered with Manus, the New School of Music, and also Penn State.
So it's also not specific disciplines.
No.
So you, you have artists from, I mean, they're writers, they're musicians, painters,
filmmakers,
really anybody. Yeah.
Anybody, scholars. So even faculty are invited to come and stay for the residency. There's many continuing education seminars and or projects that they have to complete. So, you know, this gives them that time to dive back into their art. And work on those, you know, specific projects.
Nice. How long are the residents? How long are they, can they choose how long they stay? Or
well, so we've tried to streamline it now. So we've made them so that they're
because it was pretty
set.
Loose before.
Yes.
I remember. Yeah, Purcell was just like, "Come stay here."
Exactly. And which was great when she ran it because you know she could pick and choose and how many you know could come at a time and how long. But when you're trying to now work with six partnering institutions. And, you know, you have all these applicants. We decided that it was best to just make them into sessions.
Yeah.
So they're 2 weeks, 3 weeks, and then we added a month-long session, which we will be approaching in August.
Oh, nice. Nice. Yeah. So the operations of the residency, because Purcell passed, what year was that?
January 2024.
Oh, okay. So it's pretty new, but the day-to-day operations are now yourself as executive director, Chuck, who's the property manager, Sherry, who does housekeeping, and Victoria, who's the resident director.
Yes.
Now, this aspect is something that when we, because, you know, every time I interview somebody on the radio, we have a little kind of pre-interview chit-chat, so we know what we want to talk about. And this struck me as something that's very cool. I tend to always end up talking about this, you know, the theme of not, I don't want to say us versus them, but in this area, there's always been this, you know, the local people and then outsiders. And we don't, you know, City It, which is the store that is currently hosting one of your residence performances. And myself, having grown up here and then leaving for a decade and then coming back, I feel like I kind of have one foot in, on either side. And so it's a fascinating relationship to me where I feel like local people need new people just as much as the new people need us, the local people. So it's an interesting thing. And when it comes to art, that's something that I feel like is the one area where you can see that divide the most. So I love the fact that when, you know, Purcell was ill, you know, she knew that she would have to keep the residency going once she passed and had to entrust somebody with her legacy. And this is a respected artist residency, that deals with all these very prestigious colleges and prestigious artists and all of these different people. And she entrusted you, who started working there as a bookkeeper, and Victoria, who started working there as the house cleaner, mm-hmm. and Chuck, who was the property manager. She didn't go outside and hire somebody with a, you know, a long resume in the art world. You know, she entrusted you guys to it, mm-hmm. knowing that you could carry on her legacy in a way that nobody else could. And I absolutely love that, especially partnered with this new push that you have with Resonance and all of this programming, because nobody can bring these people into the community quite like you guys can. You know what the community needs. You know what the community wants. You know how to get it to people. So what a fantastic thing. It maybe ruffled some feathers, maybe, mm-hmm. within this kind of world of these residencies. But she still did it. And mm-hmm. I absolutely love that. I mean, that's such an inspiring thing to kind of bridge the gap between these two ideas. And speaking of that, I mean, Purcell was somebody, from what you've told me, that walked her own path, that yes. didn't listen. So why don't you tell us a little bit more about her and how inspiring kind of her road is. You know, her husband, obviously, as a basketball player, had his whole thing going on.
Right.
And she could have just sat back mm-hmm. and ridden his coattails and rode that wave. But right. she didn't.
No, she didn't. And they actually met later in life. So I don't know exactly when. But, it wasn't when she was 20. It wasn't when she was 30. I'm sure it was probably in her, early 40s, late 40s, which wow. is, old for, yeah. She passed away last year at 83. So, to give you a sense of age and time. But she was a, dedicated individual. She knew what she wanted. She was a professional. She took lead in the finance industry. So she was one of the first women to be president of a, major financial institution.
Wow.
And she was, right up there on Wall Street with all the men, and she stood strong. She had short hair, but she walked, and she was, she was there. And when she entered the room, she wore some amazing outfits, but she demanded your attention, and she wasn't intimidated by anyone.
Yeah, certainly not a wallflower from what I've heard.
Not at all.
So really the residency was her baby.
Yes.
I mean, her husband was mm-hmm. there, so mm-hmm. he was around it, but it really was her idea and her baby.
Mm-hmm. And he supported her, So when she fell in love with the house and she, said, "This is what I'm doing," he said, "Okay," But, when it comes to the two of them, I mean, he made his wealth being a basketball star. She already had her wealth, all established. She, led financial institutions. She had her own, established, money and investments on her own. And together, they wanted to give back. So they created Catwalk. She wasn't an artist, but she loved the arts.
I was going to say, that's really interesting to me, because to dedicate that, not only your personal space, mm-hmm. but all of your time to something like that, and have that having not been your day job.
Exactly. Yep. We need more people like Purcell.
Yeah.
That can share their wealth in something that they're just very passionate about.
Yeah.
And
benefits so many people, and is now benefiting the mm-hmm. local community as well.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. That's wonderful. And tell us a little bit about the actual house, because I went on a little tour. Mm-hmm. You mentioned that she was a powerhouse mm-hmm. and she demanded attention, and she did that in her clothing. Mm-hmm. You were telling me that, this is still in the early phases, but that there's this idea that you have about displaying some of her clothing, because mm-hmm. her clothing was very flamboyant. So that would be throughout the house. Mm-hmm. She also loved tassels.
Yes.
You told me. They are throughout the entire house.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us some of your favorite things about the house.
So, as much as Purcell had always stated that she was not an artist, the collections that she has within the house that she beautifully decorated, whether it's the textiles with the cushions and the chairs and the fabrics and the decor, only Purcell could match and put together leopard print with stripes and pastels.
And tassels.
But, right, and tassels. And but yeah, it's pulled off perfectly.
Yeah.
And the same thing, you know, she had an eye for art, and she, you know, invested in art. So she has some valuable pieces. But at the same token, she was able to pair it with her, you know, favorite collection that she bought at a flea market.
Yeah.
You know, so it's a collaborative, just collective, you know, assortment of things that she just adored, loved, and she pieced it all together, and it works. She has tassels all over the place, but she also looked into like the fine details. There's one bathroom that's downstairs, my favorite room, and it has the old King Charles toilet set up where the tank is up on the top, and yeah, you do a pull down to flush the toilet. But not just it. I believe, to my understanding, it was just plain, and Purcell had to, you know, add her flair to it and had someone embroider a leaf-like design with a flower, and then she had them glue it on this beautiful mahogany rounded mahogany tank. You know, so even this bathroom, you're in awe of the art that surrounds you in this little tiny bathroom.
Yeah, mahogany toilet is not enough.
Right.
We it's can't end there. Everyone needs now I'm like, wait, why is my toilet not embroidered? Yeah. Would the house ever be open for people to view?
No. You know, and that's the thing. So for 21 years, not many people locally knew of Catwalk. And that's because, you know, it was her baby. And when the residents and the artists were here, she really wanted to give them that time that's not, you know, uninterrupted, a place of just peace and quietness. So if we were to bring in people,
yeah,
and open it to the public, it would ruin that.
Yeah, it would certainly disrupt that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But we are having, you know, special events. So we hope to have this again, you know, next year. And, you know, hopefully we can do these little workshops where we invite, you know, local members. And we're also inviting local guests for dinner, for the welcome dinners that we have with our artists. You know, which is nice. And that's an intimate way of getting to know our artists, getting to know, you know, the house and, you know, the spirit of Purcell. So we are, you know, we are opening it, but under a controlled atmosphere.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And slowly but surely, it mm-hmm. seems like. I mean, that's like a great way to keep it balanced and going, mm-hmm. is finding these different ways. So I'm trying to figure out, we have a couple minutes left. I want to know, just tell me any of your, do you have any stories that you want to tell of her, or?
Let's see, stories.
Well, you don't have any residents right now.
Oh, no, we do.
Oh, you do?
We are. Yeah, so we are actually, we have opened the main house, which Purcell only, you know, offered it to her dear friends. Mm-hmm. So, you know, when with the residency being open, and if Purcell was alive, we would have a welcome dinner. It would be outside on the patio overlooking the Hudson River. It was beautiful. But the rest of the house, that was for her and Jim and their immediate friends. And
did she have any children? I forgot to ask that.
No.
So they just,
she had nieces and nephews, mm-hmm. left. But they're all, you know, scattered throughout the United, yeah, States. But she was never clear. We've asked her many times, Purcell, what are we to do with the house? And she said, it goes to Catwalk. I said, but how? Yeah. And she said, you'll figure it out, kiddos. with this grin. You know, and for the last year and a half, it's been a transition, you know, period of you know, just thinking what to do, how to best use this space. It's too beautiful not to share.
Yeah.
But it's also so beautiful that you don't want to use it on a daily basis, mm-hmm. because it'll just, you'll ruin the fabrics. You'll ruin, you know, that just the constant traffic, the wear and tear on the rugs and the flooring.
Yeah.
But,
I mean, there's hand painted walls.
Yes.
I mean, it's. Yeah, it's really an incredible space. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, you know, I'm just kind of picturing it and walking through it in my mind right now. And I love you know, her design aesthetic was certainly maximalist. There's stuff everywhere. Yeah. I love that there's details. I actually knocked something off of a door when I was there taking your portrait.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was like, where did that even come from? there's stuff everywhere. And then it's mixed with contemporary art.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's a camel side table. And then there's a trillion pillow. You know, mm-hmm. it's a crazy environment. But you're right. I mean, it's not something that you could have a lot of, you know, light in. You know, right. That would ruin the walls.
You can't have frequent guests all the time. Yeah. So for right now, we have one of our board members staying in one of the guest rooms. And then we have Tamar, who has been with Catwalk for, I believe, the last 3 years, but she has been, you know, such a great support. She performed at Purcell's Memorial. So, you know, we consider her an honorary, you know, Catwalk alum. So mm-hmm. she's actually staying in Purcell's bedroom.
Oh,
you know, but also it's, you know, to most artists, it's very intimidating because it's too perfect. Like, you can't let your creativity
yes.
flow.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it's not meant for everybody to stay in.
I can see that.
But, you know.
You wouldn't want to move one of those millions of pillows.
Right.
Like, where did it go?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And we, you know, we had to fold up all because these comforters that she had, not only were they intricate and they were super, super fluffy, but they also had tassels.
Yes.
So how do you, you know, effectively wash tassels?
Yeah, you don't.
You know, you don't. So we had to, you know, fold them up, gently, you know, place them in a, you know, container and set them aside and, you know, purchase a new comforter so that the guest could...
Functioning comforter. Oh, this is my, you know, show comforter.
Right.
This is the old gross one I sleep with.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was impressed by the level of custom, you know, fabrics. And like I said, the pillows really got me because I worked mm-hmm. for years when I used to live in Boston as a seamstress, and we worked with interior designers making that kind of custom stuff. So I was just blown away. I mean, the ceiling in the tassel room is upholstered.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's like...
Right. It's a pillowed ceiling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's insane.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that room alone is just, you stand in there and you're like, I don't know where to look.
Yes. And even the floor. The floor is made out of this...
it's like a crazy quilt. Yeah.
Right. That are pieces...
that are all hand stitched together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. If anybody knows what a crazy quilt is, it's all different pieces of fabric. And then they're really just layered on top of each other and then hand stitched together mm-hmm. with all of these crazy different stitches
mm-hmm.
so that the whole thing somehow is just, I mean, you don't even know where to look. It's just this mass of scraps, mm-hmm. but somehow it comes together and looks amazing.
Yes.
And that's on the floor as a rug.
Right.
And you're like, I don't want to step
on
it.
Right.
It's an incredible, incredible space. What are the buildings that the residents stay look like? We didn't look at those when I was there because there were residents.
Mm-hmm.
What are they? They're more cabin like?
No. They're not as, you know, mixed elements, you know.
They're not as eccentric.
Exactly. But they're still, you know, cute and quaint.
Mm-hmm.
They each have a workspace that's, you know, meant for each individual. So in the tower, they have the big overlook that's 365, view windows all the way around. And then the caretakers, that's really cute and quaint. It's like a cottage type, you know, feel. And that has windows overlooking, you know, the river as well. And then Cat's Lair, which is the house that we own on Hamburg Road, they have a beautiful sunroom that is just the whole length of the house. And it frames the Hudson River
so perfectly. Are they each kind of tailored to, like, if I was a painter, would there be a specific...
No. So that's where I say the magic or just our, you know, best efforts are to look at the artists that are selected by the, you know, partnering institutions.
Let's go back to that, too, because I mm-hmm. wanted to ask about that. How are, because they're not applying to you.
Correct.
Yes. So how were the artists chosen?
So we give a slotted number to each of our partnering institutions. Okay. They then select, or they receive all the applicants. Then they have their own little selection committee. Mm-hmm. And then they forward us whatever that number is that we ask. So, for example, Columbia University, I think the last round they had 70 applicants and they ended up having to only forward 10.
Oh, wow.
And so then when we receive, let's say, 10 from Columbia, you know, 5 from Manus, you know, 8 from Penn State, you know, 6 from Vassar, et cetera, then what we do is we look at everybody. We ask all the applicants to give us their top 3 session dates. Mm-hmm. We review their project proposal, and we look, you know, at their bios and their CVs, and we try to, you know, just look and see who would fit well, whether it's based on their projects. We try to do an even, it doesn't always happen, but, you know, even representation of each of our partnering institutions. Mm-hmm. So ultimately, we can only invite a maximum of 6 residents at a time.
Mm-hmm.
Those are our success stories, is the artists that come back and the time that's spent here at the residency isn't just meaningful as in they've gotten their work accomplished, but meaningful as in they've developed these relationships with their other cohorts.
Do you take that into account, the projects they're working on all together? So say you have a writer and a musician that, you know, their proposals sound kind of similar. Do you take that into account? So they...
Sometimes and sometimes not. Mm-hmm. You know, it really does... the availability and their selection of the, you know, session dates plays a huge part. But we also take pride in that we're not being the curator, mm-hmm. right, on a certain project. So that's, I think that's also the beauty of our residency, is that most residencies are transactional. So, yes. You know, they're, you know, they're brought in to do a certain piece that needs to be performed or at this particular, you know, juncture to then carry over to be presented, you know, et cetera. Ours is, you know, you present us a proposal, Purcell, you know, wanted you to, you know, work on that, but she also had understood that, you know, in life, sometimes you need to just, you know, take this time and let really the magic of this place, you know, speak to you and guide you and move you. We ultimately, you know, we love the stories that we hear back from the alums that say, the experience that I had at Catwalk could not be replicated in any other residency,
mm-hmm.
whether it's their interactions with, you know, Chuck, Victoria, myself, Purcell. You know, I love it when they, you know, reference Purcell all the time, or just the interactions with our locals, you know, our community members, or, you know, cafes, or, you know, the historical places. But that's, you know, we don't want to be just 2 weeks, you know, in their lifetime and then that's it, closed chapter. You know, we invite our residents to come back year after year. We ask them to wait 2 years.
You're like, all right, you can't live here.
Exactly. but you know, in the 20 plus years that the residency has been open, you know, amazing stories that we've had is we've had residents that come back, you know, 4 times. And for example, Marion Spencer, Love to Rise was proposed, you know, for her first residency at Catwalk. And after, I believe, 4 residencies, she had her first performance at Bridge Street Theater.
Wow.
So it's that, you know, the Catwalk being so part of their lives and mm-hmm. part of their career. It's not just a little, you know, check mark
lip. And where, I mean, they can come from anywhere. I mean, you can have international people.
Oh, yes. Or, mm-hmm. yeah, they just have to be affiliated
with that college.
Yes. So we, I mean, I think 2 years ago, we had artists that came from Brazil. We had one that came from China to come over for 2 weeks. So, you know, the key is to apply through our partnering institutions, but you can also bring in collaborators. So those collaborators do not necessarily need to be from those.
That institute.
Mm-hmm. And then they can come in and apply for alumni sessions, which are their fall and our winter. Yes, exactly.
Yeah, but my point in bringing that up, I guess, is that maybe this has happened to you. I know it happened to me, is growing up here, this is a magical place mm-hmm. that you don't know is magical mm-hmm. until you leave. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a reason why there's a Hudson River School or Hudson River, you know, whatever, group of painters, because mm-hmm. every single night you're looking at some insanely romantic and majestic red mm-hmm. sunset mm-hmm. and mountains and, you know, just the temperature and the foliage, you know, anything that you're looking at, and you don't realize until you leave. Mm-hmm. I mean, I remember I left and was like, oh, the rest of the world doesn't look like that. Mm-hmm. And then coming back and trying to continually view my home as outsiders might view it, to mm-hmm. remind yourself that this is a magical place. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I mean, I can imagine as an artist staying, you know, if you're not from here, staying in a place like this, yeah, it would be incredibly moving. Mm-hmm. And I think that sometimes as people who live here, you know, year round for our entire lives, we forget that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I remember drawing these, you know, boring butt mountains mm-hmm. when you're, you know, in elementary school, you're like, ah, there's some dumb mountains and a sun and whatever. Yeah. And then you leave and you're like, where's the sun? Mm-hmm. Where's the river? Yeah. That's fantastic.
Yeah. And to circle back to, you know, Purcell, when she passed, it was really hard for us to, questions were asked, like, how do we keep Purcell's spirit alive? Mm-hmm. And how do we keep what Purcell contributed to our artist alive?
Difficult because she was a personality.
Exactly. I mean, she knew everyone. She knew everything. She could carry a conversation with all artists on any discipline, and she could, you know, recite various, you know, galleries, museums, you know, artists, everything. And that still is a huge hole, mm-hmm. To fill. But what I try to focus on is the stories that I've heard is, you know, Purcell would be sitting and having lunch and an artist would come by and she'd say, hey, you know, come have lunch with me. And they'd chit chat about, you know, their work. And then she'd say, oh, I'm going to go see a, you know, show over at Bridge Street Theater. You want to come? And then that artist, you know, tagged along, and just that interaction and that, you know, submersion into our local community wanted them to come back.
Yeah.
You know, Dave over at Left Bank Ciders, he came as part of a resident here.
I love that.
And so, you know, for Victoria.
And he's a poet, yes, just in case anybody didn't know that.
And so Victoria and I, we can't fulfill, you know, the knowledge and the connections that Purcell had. But we can do it by, you know, sharing our love for this community and our love for this landscape. You're right. I agree with you. It wasn't until a few years back. My landscape and my vision of home are the Catskill Mountains looking from the Lashers Farms, mm-hmm. because that's the road that I take to go home to my house. And yeah, there's no image, you know, that I could say defines home other than the Catskill Mountains.
Yeah, because I grew up mm-hmm. On the Columbia County side. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I mean, our house, we had a bay window that faced the mountains and that sunset every night. Mm-hmm. And you're just like, boring. Yeah. It's orange outside again. Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, and it wasn't until I left that I realized how insane it was. And just having so much family around. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's another thing, you know, and I understand from our conversations that, you know, occasionally there is this idea that from you that you've expressed that, you know, you might not know this or that about art, mm-hmm. but it's, to me, it's like those things can be learned.
Right.
You know, what you bring to the residency, like you said, with introducing these people to the town and the community and all of these kind of insider things is far more valuable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. And we, you know, in the past, we used to just have a welcome dinner with the residents, and then we added a work share at the end so that we could all, you know, see each other's work. And then since Purcell's passing, it's just still, you know, we needed something more. And so now what we've done is we've invited, you know, local guests to our welcome dinners. And then on the other weeks, we then bring our residents to our local shops, whether it be City It's, Cafe Joust, Left Bank, have a picnic over at Thomas Cole. But often these places that I listed, they'll have art, you know, artists
our artwork from local artists. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, we can, you know, start conversations with that, and they can appreciate, you know, the local work that's here as well. So, you know, to really just connect them with Catskill, with the Hudson Valley, you know, with our local community.
Yeah, that's such a huge thing. Like I said, having grown up here, and we didn't have those things weren't here yet.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, myself and you, we have young kids. And yeah, I mean, I love that they can have access to those things. Take mm-hmm. it or leave it. You and I went to a musical recently and I asked your son, how did you like it? And he was like, meh. And I was like, was it meh because you didn't like it or you don't like musical theater? He wasn't really into musical theater.
No.
But the fact that he has the ability to now know that.
Yes, yes.
That's what's so important. And like I said, I love that all of these, you know, these things are going on, and we can take our kids and we can enjoy them, and we don't have to leave our beautiful little area
mm-hmm.
That much to go find these things. So we only have, about 6 minutes left. So I wanted to kind of go over some of these details again.
Okay.
So if people want more information, catwalkinstitute.org.
Yes.
Is where they can find it. There's also an Instagram, which is Catwalk Institute, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So they can find out more information about your artists, about the residency. But as far as these, and you can maybe hear us flipping through these millions of pages, as far as these other events are going. So there are things going on right now, which, you know, if you've been listening to us prattle on and on for the last hour, you maybe missed them. But this one is tomorrow. This is July 20th, which is what, Sunday?
Sunday, yep.
That's at the Thomas Cole House at 5.
Right. And then tomorrow.
But wait, so they can go to catwalkinstitute.org for information, or thomascole.org has information.
Mm-hmm.
So that's tomorrow.
Or should just show up.
Or just show up.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Just go to the Thomas Cole House at 5.
5, yes.
And just walk
right That's on Sunday.
That's on Sunday, mm-hmm. and that is a cello
mm-hmm.
concert.
Yes, and she'll be performing again tomorrow at BD Powers at 3 o'clock.
Okay, so tomorrow at 3, mm-hmm. BD Powers,
mm-hmm.
Sunday, Thomas Cole House at 5,
mm-hmm.
and yeah, just look it up, because now you already can't remember. Sorry. Mm-hmm. Oh, this is...
She has an exhibit right now over at Thomas Cole throughout the end of the weekend. And then she'll do a little mini workshop, pop-up right at the storefront. The storehouse at Thomas Cole, where she'll be talking about the environment and art, and also do a little knot-making workshop with the kids.
Tapestry. Mm-hmm. Oh, kids again. Yes. I love when the kids mm-hmm. are involved. This is tapestries. That's mm-hmm. what she... And performances?
Nope. That was another performance.
That's just a picture.
Those are actually... If you look at the picture, and when you go there, it's amazing. She made these tapestries, and she didn't get to bring it, but she also has a shawl that is made out of plastic bags. And cut in little strips and knotted.
Wow.
It's amazing.
That's the photo I'm looking at right mm-hmm. now. That's so, yes. I feel like it would make a cool noise.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like that's why that picture looks like that. So that is, again.
This weekend at Thomas Cole.
Thomas Cole. Yeah. That's an exhibit
mm-hmm.
Of tapestries
mm-hmm.
and a little workshop.
Mm-hmm.
And what else do we have here?
We have Mia. So that Mia's, she'll be over at Dutchman's Landing tomorrow from 10 to 1. And that is the polarity drawing.
Oh, the body mapping which mm-hmm. sounds so awesome.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's tomorrow, 10 to 1. Kids can be involved, mm-hmm. family things or not.
Yep.
Adults, families, everybody, whoever wants to body map,
mm-hmm.
which sounds so insanely interesting.
Mm-hmm.
That's at Dutchman's Landing, which is right on the river,
mm-hmm.
For anybody who doesn't know. And you can see Frederick Church's house
yes.
from there yep. beautifully.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then we have one that I don't have a paper on that I wanted to add. And that's Noe. She's doing a film screening over at Left Bank on Monday, the 28th. At 7 p.m. And it'll be a collection of all the films that were created at Catwalk.
Oh,
yeah.
That's cool.
Mm-hmm. So Monday.
How many is that? Wild guess.
I believe she has about 5 to 6, I think. So it's going to be maybe even more, because it's going to be about 2 hours.
Wow.
So, and there'll be a talk, Q&A with the, filmmakers.
And that's at Left Bank,
right?
Which is co-owned by Dave.
Yes.
Who was also a Catwalk resident.
Yes. Uh-huh.
It's just so crazy to me because, like I said, until we started talking about this, I had no idea. I feel like I'm an outsider. Yeah, that's awesome.
Yep. And then Connor Dowdle, that's the painting workshop at Catwalk, but you have to sign up for that. So
which is the 26th and 27th of this month.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, don't panic if you don't remember any of that. Catwalkinstitute.org.
Mm-hmm.
If you want more information or Instagram, you can check you guys out there.
Mm-hmm.
So Sheila, that's our time.
Woohoo!
Thank you so much for being here. That was awesome.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, and thanks for informing us about our little community here.
Mm-hmm.
This little secret thing that's been there for a long time. Not so secret thing. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thanks.